Father in heaven, I ask in the name of Jesus to bless quickly. Spirit of understanding, grant us, dear God, a willingness to obey what we learn. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Matthew 16, reading from verse 13. Our subject, binding and loosing. Binding and loosing, Matthew 16, reading from verse 13. The Bible says, when Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say, thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now pay attention to verse 19. Read it microscopically. Read with me. And I will give unto thee what? The keys of the kingdom of heaven. Keep reading. Whatsoever thou shalt bind, come on earth, read it, shall be bound in heaven. Finish the verse. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Stop. That's a very serious passage. Whatsoever. What does whatsoever mean? Anything. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. That's tremendous power. Jesus tells Peter, and by extension, the early church, and by further extension, all the faithful down to the centuries, whatever you bind on earth, heaven will recognize. Whatever you loose on earth, heaven will recognize. I say again, that's tremendous power, but that teaches us that the family in heaven and the family on earth, read my mind and finish my thoughts, are one. Nobody, amen. My fault. Let me try it again. The church on earth and the church in heaven are one. Just two separate locations. Bible Commentary, Volume 1, page 1081, paragraph 2. Listen to these remarkable words. Bible Commentary, Volume 1, page 1081, paragraph 2. Ellen White writes, God created the world to enlarge heaven. In other words, when the world was created, the earth was an extension of heaven, meaning the standards of heaven were the standards for the earth. And nobody's impressed. That has not changed. Despite the ruin of sin, through the gospel of Jesus Christ, through a connection with Christ in us individually and in us as a church, the standards of heaven can be reproduced on this earth again. Because God never changes his standards. When Adam and Eve sinned, they fell. God did not bring his law down. He arranged the gospel to lift them up. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. But this remarkable power is based on the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. With this key, this is important, whatever you bind down here will be bound up there. Whatever you loose down here will be loose up there. Now we need to understand what key that authorizes human beings to make decisions that God accepts 100%. Go to Matthew chapter 23. What's our subject? Binding and loosing. Looks like 20 to 9. But I know I go past 9, please. Matthew, what book did I say? Matthew 23, reading verse 13. As you read, read very carefully. Matthew 23, 13. When you found it, say amen. You may read with me. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Now, what did Jesus Christ say they do? For ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. Now, keep in mind what Jesus told Peter. What did he say? I will give unto thee, what? The keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now, he tells the Pharisees, you shut up the kingdom. So that Jesus is telling Peter and the others, you will open what the Pharisees have closed. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. Let's keep reading. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Jesus is saying, you're not entering the kingdom, and you're preventing others from entering. How did the scribes and Pharisees shut up the kingdom of heaven against men and women? How did they do that? When studying the Bible, study a little over here, a little over there. We call that line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Let Luke explain Matthew. Matthew says that Jesus said, he shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. Now Luke is recording the same speech. He says it differently. He does not disagree with Matthew, he simply explains Matthew. Luke 11, verse 52, our subject, binding and loosing. Luke is gospel number 3. Luke was a medical doctor. I'm sure that resonates with quite a few of you in this community. Luke 11, verse 52. When you found it, say amen. Now, as you read Luke 11, 52, keep in mind Matthew 23, 13. Here's what we'll do. You keep your eyes on Luke 11, 52. You read it quietly in your mind. I will read out loud Matthew 23, 13 and tell me what you observe. Are you ready? What verse are you looking at? Luke 11, 52. What verse will I read? Matthew 23, 13. Here we go. You look, I read. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Do you see a similarity? Yes. Now Jesus is saying the same thing, but Luke just uses slightly different words. And in doing that, Luke explains what Matthew was saying. Matthew said, ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. Luke says, woe unto you, lawyers, what? For ye have taken away what? The key. But the key of what? Knowledge. Ah. It's the same charge. Because many Pharisees were scribes. It's the same charge. He says, Luke says that Jesus said, ye have taken away the key of knowledge. And so that which opens the kingdom of heaven is the knowledge of God's word. Somebody say amen. Now when Jesus said to Peter, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, Christ was referring to the principles and the tenets of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the key to the kingdom of heaven. When you understand that, you begin to understand what Jesus meant when he said, whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Because with the key, anything bound on earth is bound based on what? The Word of God. Where does the Word of God originate from? Heaven. So whatever we bind on earth based on the Word of God is naturally bound in heaven. Are you following me? Because the key originates from heaven. What this means is the church must only speak what the Bible says. A church that does not say what the Bible says may bind something on earth, but that thing will not be bound in heaven. Is that clear? Say amen. Let me say it again. The church of Christ must say what Jesus says in his word. That's the only way what they bind on earth can be bound in heaven. Let me give you an example. Exodus 20, reading from verse 11. From verse 8, the Bible says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Stop. That's what the Bible says. That's what the key says. Now, when you observe the seventh day Sabbath, it's bound on earth. Finish my words. It's bound in heaven. Why? Because the key says that. Let me be direct. When you observe the first day of the week as the Sabbath, it may be bound on earth. Finish my words. It's not bound in heaven because it disagrees with the key. My brothers and sisters, it is not enough to have it bound on earth. It must be bound in heaven. And the only thing that guarantees the binding on earth and the binding in heaven is that the action or the decision must be based on the Word of God. This is the key with which we bind on earth, and that heaven recognizes it. My brothers and my sisters, truth is the key. It is not enough to come to church, whether Saturday or Sunday, and sing and dance, and whatever else people do, and do it contrary to God's word. Let me give you an example. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Our subject, binding and loosing. 1 Corinthians 14, we read verse 27 and 28. You may be a little surprised with what you're about to read. You may ask yourself, how can this be in the Bible, and so many people do the opposite? Are you ready? Read with me. If any man, come on, speak in an unknown tongue, read carefully, let it be by two, or at the most three, and that by course, or one after the other. And let the other what? Interpret. Now stop. This is referring to the gift of tongues. Now, according to the key, when tongues are used in the church, no more than two people. On rare occasions, three. And they must speak one at a time. That's what the Bible says. Read verse 28. Come on, I'm listening to you. If there be no interpreter, come on, let him keep quiet in the church. And let him speak to himself. And to God, the Bible says, the key says, when tongues are used, if there is no interpretation, keep quiet. Every Sunday, the churches in Manila, I imagine, and Jakarta, and Kuala Lumpur, and Ghana, and United States, and Nigeria, and wherever else, and they're all speaking in tongues at the same time. That's not what the key says. And so that behavior may be bound where? On earth. Finish my words. It's not bound in heaven. Question for you. Don't answer me. Let's apply this to our personal lives. Forget the church. Our personal lives. Let's examine our lives, the way we handle money, our romantic lives, our professional lives, our social lives, the way we eat and drink. Now, is the way we live our lives bound in heaven? Here's a man, he has two wives. That may be bound on earth. What's the question we need to ask? Come on, tell me. Is it bound in heaven? If it's not, it's illegitimate on the earth. Here's a man who works on the Sabbath. That's bound on earth. Finish my words. is not bound in heaven. Regardless of the reasoning you bring, you cannot reason your way to disobedience. You must submit to the key. Here's someone who uses a tithe to pay rent or school fees or buy food. That may be bound on earth. It is not recognized in heaven because it is contrary to the key. My beloved friends, I am not trying to be harsh. I'm trying to be direct. The lives we live must be bound on earth and in heaven. For too many Christians, the way we live our lives is bound only on the earth. It is not recognized in heaven. And if it's not recognized in heaven, one day there will be an accounting that's required. You know, in the parable of the talents, the ruler gave 5 to one man, 2 to another, 1 to one. The Bible says in Matthew 25:19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. After a long time. This long time deceives many of us into thinking God is senile and he has forgotten. The long time is God's way of giving us an opportunity to change, not to continue. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. My brothers and sisters, we must live our lives by the key. You're involved in a relationship romantically with an unbeliever. That's bound on earth and not very tightly. It is not, finish the words, bound in heaven. I don't care whether his father is the mayor and his mother is the governor. It is not bound in heaven. Heaven says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That's what heaven says. Now you and I have to live according to that in order for our behavior to be recognized and bound in heaven. It is useless to argue with God because no one has ever argued with God and won. Are you following me? That's like saying God was wrong. You may reason with God, you cannot argue with God. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Let us see a practical example of this bound on earth, bound in heaven, someone using the key. Acts 9, reading from verse 1, let's go there quickly. The book of Acts. Chapter 9, reading from verse 1, our subject, binding and loosing. It's about 8 minutes to 9. Binding and loosing, Acts chapter 9, reading from verse 1. When you found it, say amen. Let's pray again. Dear God, as I come to the close of this message, grant me a fresh infilling of the Spirit of truth. I ask sincerely. Speak literally through me, dear God. As I speak according to your word, give every listener in this church and via the internet the assurance that what I say is bound on earth and bound in heaven because I'm using the key. Hear this humble prayer, dear God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Acts 9, reading from verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. And desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Paul would arrest Christians and have them killed. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and do what? Go into the city, and it shall be what? Told thee what thou must do. Now, read 6 microscopically. And the Lord, now Paul said, what wilt thou have me to do? Give me the details of my responsibilities. What is it that you want me to do? Jesus said, you go to the city and someone will tell you what to do. Follow me closely. Could Jesus have told Paul right there what to do? Yes. But he didn't do that. You know, Paul asked Jesus two questions. Question one was, who art thou? And Jesus answered directly, I am Jesus. When he asked the second question, what wilt thou have me to do? Jesus said, you go to the city. I have someone who will tell you what to do. And whatever that person tells you, you accept it as my word. Mm-hmm. So whatever he tells you to do will be bound on earth, finish my words, and in heaven, because he'll only tell you what I tell him to tell you. Let's see that in action. Verse 7. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Paul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. Focus now, focus. To him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and have seen in vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Now God tells Jesus, is telling Ananias what to do with Saul. Are you following me? Are you sure? Remember, Jesus told Saul, you go to Damascus and someone will tell you. Now Jesus leaves Saul and goes to the church in Damascus. Somebody say amen for the church. And he tells a church member what to tell Saul. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will shew him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hand on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, have sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now Ananias said, Jesus sent me to tell you what to do. So whatever Ananias told Jesus to have told Saul to do was bound where? On earth? Come on. And in heaven. Why? Because Ananias was only saying what Jesus said. If that's clear, say amen. This is the key. So when someone tells you the Sunday is the Sabbath, ask them, where is that found in the key? When someone tells you a man should marry three wives or a woman three husbands, where is that found in the key? This is the key to the kingdom of heaven. That is why it is a serious crime against humanity for a man or a woman to occupy a pulpit and preach error. Because in so doing, that preacher shuts up the kingdom of heaven against men. But let me also bring this to your attention. The Bible says that Saul, when he had received meat, was strengthened. And Saul was with the disciples at certain days, with the disciples which were at Damascus. He was with the church. Listen to me carefully. Jesus Christ must have a group on this earth that says exactly what he says. Can you say amen? Mm-hmm. In other words, Jesus have a church whose doctrine is based on Genesis to Revelation, not on the traditions of men. Is this not a church? Well, don't go quiet now. Don't discourage me. Is there such a church? Yes. Name it. The Seventh-day Adventist Church, every fundamental doctrine can be demonstrated from this key. I didn't say all the members were saints. No. Mm-mm. You know what Jesus said of the 12 disciples? Have I not chosen you 12? One of you is a devil. If there was a devil among the 12 disciples right in the presence of Christ, can you imagine how many devils are in that other church? Not this one, that other church. There are devils all over the church. You don't find devils in casinos. They don't waste their time. That's theirs. In whorehouses, no. They come to the church to evangelize. And so my brothers, my sisters of Passai Seventh-day Adventist Church, make up your mind to live your life by the what? The key. That's the only way. Whatever you do on earth shall be bound where? In heaven. Anything that varies from this will not meet with God's approval, however much it may please men. That's why the Bible always has this statement, in the eyes of God, in the eyes of God, in the eyes of God, there is much that is right, in the eyes of men, that is horrible in the eyes of God. Why? Because the Lord does not see the way we see. My ways are not your ways, neither my thoughts your thoughts. For as the heaven is higher than the earth, how high is that? So are my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Amos 3 verse 3, can two walk together? Finish it for me. Except they be agreed. When two agree, it means they're using the same standard. Are you with me? The Bible says for two to walk together, they must agree. Now here's God, and here I am. We have to agree. One of us has to change in order for there to be agreement. I lost you. Did you say yes, I lost you? Okay. Listen again. Here's God. Describe God. Give me one word responses. Quickly. Holy. Come on. Righteous. Come on. Love. Come on. Principle. Come on. Perfect. Come on. Sinless. Come on. Righteous. That's God. Describe a human being. Sinful. Corrupt. Deceitful. Everything else. Now, how can they walk together? One of them has to change. Either God becomes corrupt, or the sinner becomes like God, in order for them to do what? Walk together. Now, whichever way the change goes, they will both be using the same standard. But since God does not change, are you with me? I am the Lord, I change not. We have to change to suit God, in order that we might walk how? Together. And that's only possible when God and I walk according to God's key, which is this. And so Jesus says to us in his words to Satan, man shall not live by bread alone, finish it for me, but by... Now I want you to use the Passai version. But by the key. Ah, God bless whoever said that. How many of you will say right now, Father, this message has opened my eyes. Help me to bring every item of my life in line with the key. Can I see your right hand? With the key. The key. Not your key, God's key. Stand up with me. With God's key. So that what you and I bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. The decisions you make for your children may be bound on earth and bound in heaven. The professional choices we make may be bound on earth and bound in heaven, because everything we do, we consult, thus saith the Lord. That's why the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. The Bible doesn't say, don't use your understanding. It says, don't lean on it. Use it, and then present your findings to God for his final approval. If that's clear, say amen. And so we want to live by the key. That's the only way. What we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Dear God, we thank you for your word, Father. When studied honestly, the word is really, really clear. All of us standing, dear God, have made a commitment to review our lives. Is there an area of my life that is not according to the key. If that's the case, Father, you do not recognize it. However much the world may admire it, we want to bring our lives in harmony with the key, that actions on earth may be actions in heaven. Because your original plan was that earth would be an extension of heaven. Because the family on earth and the family in heaven are one. Because two can walk together only if they agree. Dear God in heaven, as an act of mercy, convict us of where we're contrary. We've gone away from the key, Father. And by the sustaining power of your Son, bring us back into harmony with the key. That whatever we bind on earth, whether in our lives as individuals or as a church, may meet with your smiling approval in heaven. Bless us, and as we walk this way, usher us right into your kingdom, I pray. In Jesus' name and for his sake, let God's people say, amen and amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.